Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street.
Good Monday morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber. He's Jim Cramer, and we are live from the New York Stock Exchange. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to begin the trading week 1/2 hour from now. You can see we are looking for a higher open, I guess it's fair to say. Our roadmap does start with that market rally we've seen lately as the S&P looks set to add to its record close. By the way, if you're taking a look at Apple, you know it is closing in on a $3 trillion market value. Plus, weighing the COVID risk for investors, the UK warning of an Omicron, quote, tidal wave, while a new study shows that Pfizer boosters, they remain effective. And Elon Musk nabs Time's title as 2021's Person of the Year.
Yeah.
All right, let's start on the markets. What do you think as we head into this week?
Well, I think that the market seems to be a little oblivious to Wednesday, to Powell. I was hoping that we would come in today and people would, most of the research would be about, okay, here's the new positioning we have to have, the Fed tightens. We didn't get that. When I convened the investment club meeting last week, I was hoping that we would get a downturn ahead of it so that if he shocks us, we would already be cushioned. Instead, all the research is, here's my favorite ideas for 2022. And everybody likes everything. There's just this kind of, to me, the stuff is very not in sync with what we're seeing ourselves, which is that high growth technology has been failing. And yet everyone's recommending those today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people recommending all these IPOs, David, that you and I both know are not as substantive as meets
life. It's been a difficult, if you own IPOs after day one trade or the first trade, right, you are not happy if you still own them. Now, a lot of that's made up as well of SPACs. Not a lot, but certainly a significant amount of IPOs have been SPACs, which are many of which are trading below 10. But you're right, not been a good year for the performance of initial public offerings.
No, and I sit here and I think, well, wait a second. Are these investment banks really saying that it's time to buy Sweetgreen? I mean, is it really? Is this the moment that you want to buy Braze? I mean, you know, all these companies, a lot of them do the same thing, David. You know, they've met the art of optimizing customer engagement. Now, customer engagement, I always thought we had that with Salesforce. I mean, didn't we have that with Shopify? I mean, I thought we had that with a half dozen companies that I think have already figured out how to engage consumers. David, these companies I have no interest in these companies. There's too many of them.
Right. Okay. So you're a little, as we head into Wednesday, with the prospect of the Fed being giving us more on the taper.
It has to be tougher, and we know that. Although you'll have like someone like Muhammad Alarian say it's already too late. I mean, I never buy it's already too late, but he's not going to solve the port dilemma. We had a really good piece this morning.
Already too late, what, to combat inflation? Is that what he's saying?
I mean, inflation's high.
Yes, it is.
Inflation's high.
Yes, it is.
And the supermarket, it's more expensive. Wages are higher, but it's uneven, not enough to cover, in a lot of cases, the inflation. But the inflation is not necessarily, you'd have to really destroy the economy in order to save it here.
You know, I asked you last week, though, last time we saw an inflation print like that in 82, what were rates? I think they were
13%.
13%.
Yeah, you got a great deal on those treasuries. And that was the
we were at 1.6 only a few weeks ago.
That's a greater return than most stocks.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But I'm more concerned about the David Kostin piece about how long can you have the breadth of five stocks being 51% of the performance of the S&P. And I come back and say, well, wait a second. I think that so what? I mean, do you really, really think that that means the others won't catch
up?
Well,
there they are. Or at least most of that, a lot of that performance. By the way, Microsoft, sometimes we forget as we watch Apple so closely, Jim. Microsoft up 54%
this year as it surpasses $2.5 trillion in market.
Every one of those was down.
Was up and had a very nice Friday. Microsoft did, along, of course, with Apple, which we just mentioned. Now up 35% for the year, helping to power the S&P, of which it is the most.
But think about these companies not affected by Omicron or any version.
Right.
Okay. Have tremendous franchises. They keep reinventing themselves. The last one being Apple. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about Apple being $3 trillion, but I look at Apple as what happened 3 weeks ago when we got a report that Apple basically 13 was a dud. I think a lot of hedge funds. Remember all these hedge funds that have to be 20% short?
It barely lasted a day. And of course, you were dismissive of that story and most likely correct in being dismissive of
although it. Although I got heat because I was so vicious about it.
If we hold up with that number there, it'll take us just within very few billion of $3 trillion.
Right.
It is an astounding number. I know we just we focus on it and then we won't. I can remember when we were sitting here talking about a trillion, which seemed hard to imagine,
right.
Frankly.
But what does it mean? I mean, Elon Musk, trillion. What does it mean? Versus, say, Ford, maybe. Ford's got the Mach 5.
Glad
I don't
you
think
mentioned
it's
Salesforce and Ford within the first 5 minutes of the show.
Glad
we're keeping that up.
I'm trying to deal with Time Magazine's cover of the year, but where's Dr. Borla? Where's Bancel? But maybe the Time Magazine people don't think that the vaccines, they're not anti-vax.
What do you know?
They're not anti-vax.
You have some insight. Your buddy is Benioff. He owns it.
Benioff has said over and over again that he is not going to influence Time, and he clearly didn't because he was favoring the tree as man of person of the year.
Trees are not people. You had to tell him that, didn't you?
David, you're so small-minded.
I didn't know that.
I don't know. Let's call Mark Zuckerberg.
Secret life of trees.
What
about Zuckerberg?
No, this is a line from Succession. See, this was a weekend where Peloton...
Don't do that.
No.
I did hear it.
No,
don't.
Okay, Succession.
Succession was amazing.
And, I mean...
But our executive producer hasn't watched it. He's standing right there. Don't ruin it for him.
Okay, Next Door feature on Saturday Night Live. I mean, David, we're very much in the news. It's just not for anything substantive.
By the way, Succession, too. I mean, I was like, I've lived this. I mean, you know what that was. Equivalent to what they chose to. I can't talk about.
Don't.
It.
I mean, you spoil. Oh God, you spoil everything.
I spoiled Big dying on the.
Oh, you spoiled. You wrecked that. I didn't even bother to watch. That's the thing. When you had a spoil like that, that means we don't watch.
Meanwhile, Peloton's using it now to their advantage.
But these are stock market issues.
Okay.
You think that they didn't realize they were going
to
hurt Peloton? You know they did.
I don't know about that.
Do you think
that
they were short Peloton?
I don't know.
Boy, that was something, huh? You exposed that.
All right. To wrap up your view of the market, which will change, of course,
Wednesday. Look, there's some pieces out which talk about the actual wordage. Now, I know Steve Leisman's into this, but if he drops this word, if he does that.
Right.
But the overall nature of it is the market's not as good once they start tightening. There's fewer areas.
And you're questioning some of the positive research on these high multiple growth names that have been getting hit lately.
They've been questioned. What, are you going to try to resurrect them? I mean, this is the time to buy Monday.com. I am telling you. You never want. If you get in HubSpot, but you're not in Qualtrics, I don't know what you're talking about. But stay away from PowerSchool, please. And Kaltura, I'm not sure at
all. Somebody actually wrote those names down?
No, I mean, they're like funny. I mean, like, these are, like, we're in some alternative universe. None of these companies even exist.
I've never heard of a lot of them.
It's really time to buy, Qualhome.
It always cracks me up when some company we've never heard of gets bought for $10 billion.
There's six pieces about Braze today.
Yeah.
Now, Braze, David, is new marketing tech. They're a new marketing tech stack.
What is Braze?
They help you to compete against other people who have Braze.
Is it? It's not about, like, your brisket or anything.
No,
it'd
be
like
Braze,
right?
And Blaze. I mean, I don't know. When's a helicopter coming? And David, can we just go back over BuzzFeed?
Really?
Okay, no, I'll go
over
it. Home Builders. I like Toll Brothers. No, I'm just saying that everybody likes everything. Sweet Green Unit. Here, lettuce. Let us begin. Look at these, David. All these guys are trying to be funny. Sweet Greens, let us begin. And you know what they do? They add plus to everything or they add forward. Do you know that Sweet Greens is... It's.
Do they have a streaming service now?
No, it's Lettuce Forward.
Lettuce Plus?
Forward.
It's going to compete with Disney Plus and Apple Plus.
West Side Story.
How many other pluses am I forgetting?
West Side Story. Minus.
Didn't do well.
We're just covering
didn't
too
do
many
well.
Issues.
Got
let's,
great
let's be more
reviews.
Narrow.
All right, let's move on to the pandemic, actually, and get back to being
you don't
serious.
Have to, we're not going to play Gottlieb, are we?
Yes, we are.
I canceled everything.
Yes, we are.
You have to listen to Gottlieb.
Because a new Israeli study does show that a booster shot from the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine provided strong protection against severe illness from that Omicron variant. But on the other side of this, the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson accelerated his country's booster rollout. He also announced the first death in the country from the new variant. The UK Health Secretary says the variant is spreading at a phenomenal rate. And the aforementioned Dr. Scott Gottlieb, who we go to often here because he has been often right, he weighed in on the situation in the UK earlier on Squawk Box.
It's deeply concerning to see the British take this stance because they have very good data. They have very good systems in place. And so if they're seeing a very significant threat from Omicron, I think the world should really take notice of that.
Yeah, that was really, I mean, I thought it was a major wake-up call. I always listen to him, stop every listen. And he's basically saying, you know, remember, if you go away, there could be a quarantine. We may not be able to let you back in.
Right.
Boris Johnson, the UK data is always very strong. They test constantly there because they're the testing's free. And I think a lot of people who listen to him will cancel going away.
You do. It could have an impact, yeah.
That was just devastating.
We already canceled going
away. I don't know,
but because of the hassle of it all. I mean,
right.
What about milder symptoms, which we continue to hear anecdotally, but everybody says you got to wait.
Until you get the viral, I think people just feel like milder symptoms. Who knows how bad that is?
I don't know. It doesn't seem that bad. If you've got three shots in you, it's not going to be that bad.
Right, I thought that was going to be it. But now I'm saying, David, the clarion call of Dr. Gottlieb was, don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere?
Why? Well, maybe in the United States. Go to Disney because the investment club owns Disney. You haven't hit me on that.
Meanwhile, Pfizer's using some of the vaccine money to buy things.
Do something.
Yeah. Obviously generating a good amount of cash from
Arena.
All those vaccine sales. What, $40 billion? Now they split it with BioNTech, but still at a 50% margin. What, $10 billion or more in cash?
CAR T, ulcerative Goliath.
Yeah, they buy Arena Pharmaceuticals.
Very crowded.
If you owned it on Friday, it's a double. You'll take
that.
You'll take it 100% premium.
A lot of people like Arena because CAR T is very good. It's personalized medicine.
It is, and they, as you point out, ulcerative colitis is their main focus. But you know, it's generally on immunoinflammatory diseases. Now they don't have phase 3 data here.
I know they're so early.
I love that it's $100 a share. I don't know why. It's just like, we won't take $99.99. It's got to be $100.
Oh really? Dollar Tree?
No.
Dollar Tree Plus?
Yeah, exactly. Now it's $1.25. But, you know, Jim, it does take you back to, all right, Pfizer can use some of this.
Well, Pfizer had a big patent cliff. This is a huge win for Pfizer.
And they have a big patent cliff coming. They can use some of the cash that's being generated by their vaccine revenue to put them in a position to deal with some of the patent expirations.
So then Pfizer does get up. You know, it gets re-rated because they do have all this cash. And by the way,
instead of returning it to shareholders and with a buyback.
Like Bristol Myers, which doesn't have anything of new real growth, and myocardium is still waiting.
You know what,
David, I think Pfizer's got another three or four companies it could buy.
Well, and that, you know, it's funny. We get like one of these a month, but there are some who argue we should be getting more than that because it's not just Pfizer that's dealing with patent expirations. Come 2028, you got Revlimid, you got Eliquis, you got Keytruda, Merck's key drug. I mean, there's a lot of important drugs that generate tens of billions in total revenues that conceivably are going to be off patent or come off patent in 28. And so you want to get started now because 6 years from now is when they conceivably, many of these drugs, if you get it at the right price,
well, I went over
and if
the
they succeed, are going to be
companies.
Actually.
You should go over the 391 companies that come public here. Half of them, of course, have just been a disaster, but probably a third of these companies are biotech.
Yeah.
And they're orphans now. I mean, not orphan drug, but they're orphans. Nobody wants them. The Chinese stocks and the biotech stocks.
They are until a Pfizer or a Merck comes along and pays 100% premium.
Right. And then you think, what a lottery ticket, huh?
There you actually got to know what you're doing.
But let's pull back for a second. The overwhelming notion of the research today is that you don't need to think about the Fed at all. It's going to be a great year. And I just think when I read that, I wanted a little bit more circumspect. That would help because the numbers of stocks that you can really get behind do diminish. But, you know, people don't care. I saw positive on the rails, positive on lumber, positive on home building, positive on Bristol Myers, positive Ford Motor.
Most money still was going into ETFs and index funds anyway, and it's all
$1 trillion.
Just gets into.
And then
everybody buys Apple.
Bernstein likes Famang, Airbnb is kind of can't play. Brace, I keep coming back to ChargePoint. People suddenly saying it's time to own ChargePoint.
Just look at people.
What? Amazon.com is the one.
You are a tree's nightmare is what
well,
you are.
Well, that's why Benioff was right with the tree being the man of the year person.
You've got like 17 pounds of paper.
Well, I have to go through it. Unlike you with your, you know, I don't know, what are you studying? Engine 1 and Exxon? I mean, you know, look at this. I have to go through the Costin Outlook. Costin, is he on today? You always have to book Costin, right? Is Costin on?
No, he was on Friday. Was it Friday?
Can't have
or
enough
Thursday?
Costin.
He was on.
You can't have enough Saganegi. Can't have enough Costin. Can't have enough Mark, right?
Mahaney.
And who else can't you have enough of? There's one other guy.
Yeah.
Dan Ives. Ives.
Yeah.
How about
Todd's becoming
Dan
like that
Ives.
Guy? And
how about a couple of
like
Dan's?
The guy who was the guy in Regis who used to stand on the side and scream
like
at them?
Just yeah.
Gelman.
It's Gelman.
It's our Gelman.
Hey, Gelman, by the way, is incredible.
Don't tell Gelman what happened on Succession.
No.
Because somehow he couldn't watch it last night.
No, exactly right. Oh, jeez.
All right, we got a lot more news coming on the EV front coming up. Harley-Davidson is taking its electric motorcycle unit public via,
a SPAC
deal.
Good.
Let's give you a look at futures. We get started with trading 15 minutes from now. Still looking for a higher open, at least when it comes
Coca-Cola
to the NASDAQ.
You don't even mention Coca-Cola upgraded. General Mills, we're feeling very good about the December 22nd forecast.
Those are two names, at least I know. More Squawk on the Street.
I know, but that's
ahead.
The way it used to be.
One in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi,
one
McDonald's.
In eight, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
And Peloton, close to a three handle now, Jim.
Well, you know, I hear those things about a guy having a heart attack on Peloton.
Spoiler alert. It's a spoiler alert. I don't think the company has addressed.
No.
Maybe they had a statement.
No, I don't know. But look,
my wife watched that last night. I'm like, really? Yeah. They killed him off in the first episode?
You're not supposed to. It's a spoiler.
Sorry, David.
I don't care.
Well, I didn't care. But as we mentioned, Peloton is firing back at its portrayal on HBO Max's Sex and the City reboot, which implied that its fitness equipment could lead to health complications. Peloton out with a parody ad essentially saying, hey, that's just not true.
Should we take another ride? Life's too short not to.
And just like that, the world was reminded that regular cycling stimulates and improves your heart, lungs, and circulation, reducing your risk of cardiovascular diseases. Cycling strengthens your heart muscles, lowers resting pulse, and reduces blood fat levels. He's alive.
Ryan Reynolds.
I'm actually getting tired of Ryan Reynolds. I watched
it's everywhere.
That, watched one third of that Red Notice. I was like waiting for Aviation Gin to appear. He's become a conglomerate,
Red
frankly.
Red Notice was horrible.
And I like him.
That's another
Canadian-Mally thing.
Yeah.
David, Chris North watches the show. Chris North is incredibly interested in business.
Him.
We're going to have Chris North come tomorrow.
Great.
I'm going to tell Gelman.
You're going to put him on a Peloton right here?
Let's call Chris. Chris absolutely loves the stock market.
Okay.
Loves it.
Yep.
And he would be great to have one for his perspective because, David, we've got lots of business stories bleeding into TV and vice versa.
Does he have perspective on whether Peloton's a buy at 39.15?
I think he will.
He's
actually very interested in the stock market. Always has been.
Okay.
We have Zuckerberg in Succession.
He was mentioned.
Mentioned. Well, yes. It doesn't matter. But I'm
a
saying
lot of things were mentioned.
The bleeding.
By the way, so was Lion Tree.
Lion Tree?
Aria Berkoff's firm was mentioned.
Oh, my God. Did they bother to mention Moffitt Nathanson in that deal?
No. Moffitt Nathanson selling. By the way, did you know Silicon Valley Bank has a $41 billion market value?
Well, everyone does. There isn't any. If you don't have a $41 billion market value, you're nothing. But, David, let's go back to the idea that there's this cultural phenomenon that the stock market is actually involved. And, David, you know, I'm saying right now, no one was short Peloton involved with the Sex and City. No.
Okay, good. I'm glad
I'm saying that. There are people short Lucid telling me there aren't enough sold, and people short Rivian, betting that Ford has to sell, but no, right. I'm not hearing a Peloton short Kiss.
Right.
It didn't matter. The stock has just been so horrendous.
It has been.
And do you Foley, we should get Foley. You know, Foley's actually a good guy.
SVB Financial Group, $21.3 billion market value. Buys Moffitt Nathanson.
Peloton's still 12 bill. Maybe we take it down to like 7. What do you think? Like during the show, take it down to 7 billion. Call Foley, getting up Chris Knoth. This is crazy. How can this be?
How's your cardio? You good?
My cardio?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff that I'm going to worry.
All right, just brain. Make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Brain.
I can't lose you. All right. Let's give you another look at futures, of Chris. We got a little less than 9 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. We're going to squeeze in Jim's Mad Dash. A lot more Squawk on the Street when we come back.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right. Let's do a mad dash, of course, counting down to the opening bell, about 6 minutes or so, 5 minutes from now.
Yeah,
what do you got?
I just want to talk about Coca-Cola, which is upgraded today. People at home are not used to hearing about HubSpot, and they don't really want to know about Braze. They don't really care about Monday.com. They want Coke. And this is a situation where the company's going to do quite well. Body Armor's closing. They have raw costs are much more under control. So, David, the question is, what do you do with a Coke, which was a generic name, that where the street really wants you to buy Amazon? The street wants you to buy Microsoft.
Yeah, why? Well, first of all, that's one reason. I mean,
right. And the answer is you can't get performance from Coca-Cola. You can't. But I stand here, and I say to myself, what do we do with the fact that the vast majority of people want this kind of company as opposed to a name like Anaplan? Like, you know, just picking one of these various ones or anything involving database, Snowflake, which has been terrific, by the way. Snowflake's worked. I have MongoDB tonight. Now, when you mention, when you're at a party, you see, listen, I got MongoDB. They think it's like, oh, is that like Omicron? Oh, geez, I didn't even know about MongoDB. What strain is that?
Reminds me of Alex Karras from Blazing Saddles, who's Mongo. But
I'm just saying that the disparity between what we know as companies reminds me of another era. Now, I don't know what you're...
Does it mean that names like this are going to start to come back
this
or not?
This name outperformed in 2000, beginning in April of 2000. So when the market went down, people went to Coke. So
right.
I think that this is a really interesting idea. The issue is growth. It's buyback growth, it's dividend growth. But is it
nobody expects double-digit growth at
right.
companies like Coca-Cola.
But only Snowflake and MongoDB have an accelerated revenue growth, which is what you need if you're a multiple sales.
Well, Berkshire still owns a lot of Coke.
Oh,
right?
Berkshire has Apple.
They own a lot more Apple than they do Coke.
Their performance is derived by Apple.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm keeping this in mind because this is what started to do well when we had the collapse of the dot-coms.
All right.
This
got it. We got a lot more for you, including we're going to talk about that Dollar Tree fight there, Paul Hilal. We'll talk a little bit about that, right, coming up.
Yeah.
Also coming up, an opening bell, so don't go anywhere.
If somebody makes better cars than we do, then sell more cars than we do, I think that's totally fine. Our intent with Tesla was always that we would serve as an example to the car industry and and hope that they also make electric cars so that we can accelerate the transition to sustainable energy. I'm confident in the future of Tesla that it will do well, and I hope some of these other companies do well too.
Elon Musk talking about Tesla in an interview with Time magazine in connection with that publication, naming Musk its Person of the Year for 2021.
And you're looking forward to the presentation tonight, right? At the Person of the Year dinner?
Yeah. Is there one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'll go and let's see it. What? Well, I've done ET. I've actually done crypto with Time. Remember, I tried to buy this God Dead cover using Ethereum.
Yes.
And I failed, but I kept the Ethereum, and it was the best trade I've ever had. And it wasn't meant to be a trade because it's not really, it's an event, you know, it's kind of like drafting.
Do the opening bells, and I want to get back to Musk. Here at the, you see the CNBC real-time exchange. We'll see how we end up there. Kind of a mixed bag so far. Here at the big board, Crescent Energy celebrating its listing at the NASDAQ. Software company Synopsys celebrating its 35th.
It's a good company. Touch. You know, David, we can go back to Musk for a second.
Yeah.
He's saying basically bring on Rivian. Right?
Yes.
Bring on Lucid, which we might have made 500 cars, might have not, but certainly had a big convert deal. Bring on Ford. Ford's talking about the Mach-E. I hope they can make all those with batteries. Bring on GM. GM had a very big move last week. And that's Mary Barra basically laying out the investment case, which is a pretty good investment case. Mm-hmm. Man, David, these 10 and 9 times earnings stocks intrigue me. Earnings per share as opposed to whatever per share that people are trying to sell us. And that IPO list has just lost people so much money, I just can't. It's better just being an index fund.
It would certainly seem to be. It's hard to argue with Musk not being sort of the singular figure in the business world right now.
I agree.
He is.
No, I know. It's just that, remember, this is Time.
So reason
Time
we talk about him all the time.
Business.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Time, we kind of knew this already.
He's still got, he's got that North Korean when it comes premier haircut.
It's not, and it's not just what he's done. Would EV sales be where they are were it not for Elon Musk? If there was no Tesla?
Yeah, well, I mean, Norway has said that you have to have them. By the way, Norway, they had a snowstorm. All the electric cars stopped.
Yeah. Norway's a small country. It's only got like 5-6 million people.
And they're all in the Olympics. No country.
It's incredible. I was there during the Winter Olympics, and they... I was there during the Summer Olympics, and they are incredible.
Well, they didn't create snow?
I don't know. No. I mean, I was in Norway... when the Olympics were going on.
Oh!
I was doing, it was for the House of Cards documentary.
Oh,
I was in
my
Narvik,
God, that's
Norway,
was
and
one
it
of the
reminded
greatest
me
moments.
Again of the fact that, they win.
Right.
They win events.
They have a Norwegian
winter
sovereign
and summer,
fund. We need a sovereign
winter.
Fund. Why don't we have
amazing.
One?
Amazing.
But, David, everything was up in the early market is now down. Like, NVIDIA was up 3, now it's down. Apple was up 2, now it's not up nearly as much. I continue to think that the analysts are way out of... they're nowhere near what they should be writing in terms of the negativity. They're way off their message. They're way off message.
Well, all right. I sense a this could change. I know that, but I sense a less positive tone from you today.
Well, I just don't want, David. I brought all these for one reason. Okay, because these are all buy recommendations.
Okay,
these are buy recommendations.
Okay, show that to people.
This is a hold.
Okay. And so typically that means what?
People too bullish. Now, I was hoping in my investment club, I was saying, look, you know, good opportunities. But not everything's an opportunity, for heaven's sake. Not everything is an opportunity. Not everything's going to go up. Sweet green. Is it time for ChargePoint, David? How about NXPI? I found a recommendation of Ralph Lauren. That may be the right thing to do, but how about Toll Brothers? Is it time to buy Roblox, David? No, it looks like it's going to be AppLovin. Okay? That's like AppLovin. Sounds like a group out of the 60s. You know, like Paul Revere and the Raiders, AppLovin.
AppLovin. Well, it reminds me.
I remember them. I saw them at the Steel Pier with Ed Hurst.
One group that is up is largely up is pharma. Pfizer, of course, we told you earlier, is doing a deal as a percent of its market cap at $6 billion. It's nothing. But that stock is up. J&J is up. Got Bristol Myers up 2.5%.
Well, they did a big buyback, $15 billion, nice boost to the dividend. And again, that's one to watch.
Yep.
Pfizer's loved because it got an upgrade, but also because it's clear that maybe a fourth booster.
Merck.
Peloton's up on Chris Knott saying, listen, all's forgiven. And Aviation Gin coming in there saying good things.
Move quickly, too quickly off. Merck did get a downgrade to neutral over at UBS this morning. no positive value inflection catalyst in the event path in 2022.
That was the only negative piece
the whole
morning.
And this stock has not performed well this year, certainly versus the group. It's down about 7%.
This is good. Is it better than Canopy Growth? Maybe it's doing a little better than that.
Might be a little better than that. Yeah. They're not excited about molnupiravir, of course, the antiviral that I've spent a lot of time talking about. They're concerned about that reduction in efficacy that they saw in the study in terms of preventing hospitalizations and a couple of other things they don't
really
like.
They really dumped on Merck.
Yeah.
They really dumped on
Yeah.
David, I want to, just in terms of bullishness, my charitable trust owns Disney. Now, here's a piece from KeyBank. Disney significantly undervalued. Significantly. Some of the parts, as if they're ever going to break up Disney. And then you've got West Side Story. Only the over 55 cohort. Spielberg wouldn't let it be on Disney Plus. So therefore, it's Disney forward.
It only did $10.5 million at the box office.
And it cost a little more than that.
It also opened to rave reviews, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
Is it because people don't go to the movies anymore?
Or Adam Aaron's going to call in and say, how dare David Faber say that?
Why should Adam care anymore? He's only got 96,000 shares left to sell. He sold 313,000. The CFO's out entirely.
I think he's been very upfront about his selling. How about, don't you love that one of those reasons in terms of the risk factors of GameStop, insiders might sell?
Yes.
There's a risk factor. Yeah, there could be selling by people who've made fortunes even though the company's earnings are no good. Oh, but it's just, now I'm going to get hit by those people. I don't even care anymore. My mentions are so polluted. Unless I have a picture of my spaghetti sauce, I'm a dead man.
Let's talk Dollar Tree a bit, if we can here, because it is one of the more interesting fights going on
right now in activism
land. This guy Paul Hilal, you may remember him from.
But they wanted to clean
CSX
the whole board up. That's ridiculous. Get rid of the board.
On Friday, they nominate 11. Directors.
Are you kidding
11
me?
11 directors to take over the board. This is Mantle Ridge again. He raised outside capital
arrogant.
For this in SPV. He's a well-regarded guy. I called him, by the way, and he wouldn't call me back.
Oh, well, that's impressive.
Had a PR representative call me back, and I'm not really interested.
But not Mantle Tree?
Yeah, not Paul Hilal. I mean, really, come on.
He's been around for a while.
Come on.
Mantle Tree.
It's just a phone call.
Yeah,
we can even talk on background.
Mantle Bush. Honestly.
Let me give you,
they offered him one, but that means obviously.
They offered Dreiling.
Right.
Who he's, associated with here, who obviously knows the company well.
Because Dollar Tree's not done as well as Dollar General. I mean, Dollar Tree's trying very hard. They bought Family Dollars. None of these guys. David, the whole group of people who did that, they're not really represented. They're not, CEOs go on.
Okay.
I'm just saying that Dollar Tree, can we just accept the fact that 50% of their stuff is right now off some port in the South China Sea.
They may be suffering as a result of that as well. Let me give you their side, though.
We had a great port story that we're not even running. We had it this morning at 5. They're moving the boats away from, so it doesn't look like that they're off.
We talked about that on Friday.
The Journal did
that story. Remember,
you can't see them
any longer at the L.A. port, but it doesn't mean they're not out there. They're also, remember I said, they're going at half the speed.
But if you're Dollar Tree, David, where do you think they make that stuff? Do you think they make that stuff in Connecticut?
We know where it's made. We know it's made in China. And then it ultimately fills up our
landfills. A lot of people are talking about Vietnam being so great. And
will you let me read from what Dollar Tree had to say? Will you please?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Mantle Ridge offered no new ideas for how to improve the company's performance or operations. The only operational suggestion made that the company should sell Dollar Tree merchandise at Family Dollar stores is something Dollar Tree's already been doing for several years. Instead, Mantle Ridge simply expressed that it wanted a majority of the board to be replaced, Mr. Dreiling to be named executive chairman, and other control rights.
All right, so the stock's up 29%. I mean, can't we go after something that's, not up? I've got about 150 companies that are down for the year.
In finishing up our quick coverage here of this Dollar Tree fight,
Wells
Fargo
coverage?
To try and be fair, even though Hilal won't return phone calls. The quality of the 11 candidates nominated to Dollar Tree's board of directors is undeniable, says Wells Fargo. As the slate includes many highly regarded former business leaders, their plan for improvement seems fairly clear to us, given Dreiling's involvement. It's not clear he's open to doing whatever it takes to help Dollar Tree realize its potential. Okay, Jim, now I will give you the final word on this. Buy, sell, or hold?
Well, look, they have union. Well, they have problems. Are people going to unionize? Remember, like the Starbucks, having that.
Buy, sell, or hold, Jim?
Dollar Tree, buy.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're doing everything they can. And in an environment where there's 50% of the people are not really benefiting from this fantastic market and this fantastic economy, Dollar Tree remains indispensable.
Thank you.
I happen to like them much more than my Dollar Gen is not as nice as my Dollar Tree. Brand new Dollar Gen just opened near me. I got to check that out. But David, as between Dollar Tree and Apple, which you think is more important to talk about? Because people are beginning to talk about the 5G cycle being underestimated.
I think I would want to talk about Apple a lot, and we do, and we should. Because at $3 trillion, just to make the point, it's 30 $100 billion companies. There aren't many of those to begin with.
No. I mean, I think that if you didn't own Apple or Google, a couple of those, then you should be in an index fund because it's obvious that's where the performance came from. Unless you're in something that's so special situation, and there aren't that many special situations this year, meaning mergers, because there haven't been as many in the second half of the year, I think because of FTC.
Yeah, the deals that we continue to see are the likes of which we talked about this morning. Obviously, the Pfizer deal, you've got this SPX Flow. It's a private equity deal being acquired by Lone Star, $86.50 a share in cash. It's like $3 billion or so, I think. That's the kind of deals that are getting done right now. By the way, benefiting the investment banks and all the advisors, it's a very strong M&A year, but not headlines.
No.
Not stuff that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about, not huge strategic deals because of fear of antitrust, both at the FTC and Lena Khan and what that represents, and the DOJ. It doesn't mean we aren't going to eventually see some of those, but you're going to have to be prepared potentially for a court fight if you want to get it through, if it is a real headline deal with any real antitrust risk associated with it.
There's been no consolidation in this tech area of customer relations. No consolidation in the database industry. There's no consolidation in an industry that is being roiled by Snowflake, by the way, in terms of rent the cloud. And then there's been no consolidation in the rent the runway, thread up, real world, which is just a disaster.
Right.
So I'm saying
Stitch
that
Fix, rent the runway and real all
they
get
all
together.
Need to get together and be bought by Macy's.com.
Maybe that'll happen.
No, I mean, I just think, we can talk about any company and we just say, well, if we're not talking about Meta Platform and we're not talking about Apple, we're not talking about NVIDIA, which we haven't even mentioned
yet.
We've
got an interesting one here that combines two different things, EV and SPACs. EV and SPACs.
Oh, my God.
And that's Harley Davidson. Have you taken a look at the stock?
It's finally up.
It's up 18 plus 19%. There it is.
There you go.
On the announcement that they are, in fact, going to take LiveWire, which is their EV sub, and they're going to merge it into a SPAC.
There's so many ESG funds. I mean, for instance, I had ASIC on Friday. They make artificial faux wood. About 55% of their wood is from plastic. But Trex is almost 100% recycled. Pretty much. Trex is up 65%.
Right.
ESG factors matter tremendously. And there we have an ESG motorcycle company.
We do.
So
we do.
Let's just
it's
go
interesting
buy that
they've chosen to do this, and it obviously will separate it, give it its own valuation of the market. They will still own a good amount. $400 million cash in the trust at the particular SPAC. They're going to have $100 million investment from Harley Davidson, another $100 million from another firm through a PIPE. Enterprise value expected at $1.77 billion. Post-money equity value, they're saying, at $2.3 billion. That would be a close. And interesting choice on their part to use the SPAC structure to actually take that public. Obviously, you can do it more quickly, potentially.
Right, give me the other side, David. Do you think that there were a number of SPACs bidding for this piece of business?
Absolutely, without a doubt. As we know, there are 581 SPACs.
In search of businesses.
568 SPACs.
In search of what?
In search of a deal. 568 SPACs in search of a deal.
And
by the way,
some
of them are falling apart. Like this SCVX and Bright Machines, they mutually agreed to terminate their business combination. SCVX is a SPAC. You're seeing those every so often. The eToro deal, they pushed off again. So, yeah, and then you got 568 of them that are looking for a deal.
But, David, okay, so let's just be...
not going to happen.
Let's be business people, you and I.
Okay.
David, I'd like to... Why don't we get a half a billion and try to find a business to buy? Well, how about this? How about we try to find a business to buy and then get the half a billion?
Oh.
Then what would happen?
Then I wouldn't get my fees, I wouldn't get my pipe. Your friend who runs the FCC, Mr. Gensler, Chairman Gensler, would not be happy with you. The SEC. Yeah.
The Gensler video is one of the greatest videos. I mean, it really is. He uses a lot of new media. Yep. I don't know, maybe he used Monday.com or HubSpot. It's not really clear.
All right. You ready to talk to Pisani? I think I am.
Yeah. Have you mentioned AT&T?
Oh, my God. AT&T's down another 1.8%.
Well, that's why I mentioned it. It's a moving target.
Think it could be because they killed off Mr. Big?
I don't know. Did Foley come back to me yet? Well, I'm getting Chris North just a second.
That's horrible. By the way, Fox is down 2.5%. You think that's because Chris Wallace is leaving?
I know.
By the way, Discovery
and AT&T
are both down.
Did you get that?
Continuing to pressure the overall value of that potential deal when Discovery actually ends up merging with the Warner properties that are part of AT&T. Remember, AT&T shareholders will own over 70%+ of the combined company. Yet to figure out whether it's going to be a split or how they're going to structure it.
But that 9% dividend that you yield is not for real, okay? It's not for real.
No, the AT&T will reduce its dividend once the deal is complete, which could be, by the way, as soon as, let's call it, April of the coming year. All right, let's get over to Bob Pisani right now for more on the market as well. Bob.
And good morning, David. We spent Friday, big rally into the close, new highs. You see what's going on here. Very hesitant, and part of it is because we're still dependent on the Omicron headlines. Boris Johnson didn't help us talking about tidal waves of Omicron coming in a few hours ago. That took the futures off of their highs. You see how defensive everything is today? Healthcare and consumer staples are up. Tech's up because Apple is still holding up very well. Most of the rest of the big FANG names are flat to down. Semiconductors are split right now. So it's really Apple holding up tech. And energy, industrials, all weaker. You can see this in the Dow. I mean, look, sitting at the lows for the day. What's holding up the Dow other than Apple? It's Coke, Walgreens, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson. It's all defensive other than Apple. What about some of the cyclical names? Where's, for example, any of the banks? Where's Goldman? Where's J.P. Morgan? They're all down 1% to 2%. Most of the industrials are down as well. So you see a lot more hesitancy here today. If you take a look at what the headlines, what's moving markets. Again, Omicron headlines moved the market. More optimism last week, less optimism this week, to the extent Boris Johnson reflects some of those concerns that they've had about Omicron. And because that Omicron headline affects the supply chain issues. So we're sort of dependent on the variant headlines for supply chain issues as well and inflation. And you see how all this becomes very interconnected. As for the Fed, big story, of course, they'll be out on Wednesday with their comments. The bulls want to believe that they've become hawkish enough at this point, that the CPI report, they keep pointing to that. You know, that could have been viewed negatively, but the Fed changed. And so it was viewed as a positive. Essentially, we'll be able to handle it. We'll see what happens with that. Remember, the important thing is markets wants guidance that it's going to be gradual. They don't want aggressive rate hikes, maybe three. But again, the question is, what's the terminal interest rate? Was it 2%, 2.5% in 2023? We don't know. That's what the guidance we want. Earnings estimates have been very steady. But remember, usually it's quiet going into earnings season a couple weeks before that. So we'll see. The good news is they're not dropping. They're holding up. As for where the markets are, NASDAQ has announced the additions to their NASDAQ 100. And I just want to show you here, these companies all were trading up in the pre-market because these ETFs have become enormously influential. When you have the triple Qs, adding and subtracting or anything like the S&P 500, your market has to buy into these stocks and then, of course, hold them for a very long period of time. There's $1 trillion in inflows into ETFs this year. Most of it has gone into plain vanilla ETFs like the triple Qs, the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P 500. So when these announcements are made, they're major events, these stocks all trading up, and the ones that are being deleted, and this is the NASDAQ 100, this is a mechanical process. It's the biggest non-financial stocks in the NASDAQ 100. When it's being deleted, put up the deletions here, those stocks tend to be trading down. And that's exactly what was happening in the pre-open. Finally, David was mentioning the IPOs. I just want to put some meat on the bones on that about the post-market announcements, because we've had a tremendous number of IPOs. And generally, the first day pop has been terrific, 31%. The historic average, in case you're wondering, is 15%. So there's been enormous first-day pops. Not only have they got high prices, they've gotten significant first-day pops. This is like heaven for a guy who's issuing stock right now. But, David, as you mentioned, the aftermarket, look at that, down 17%. Now, why is this happening? It's happening, David, because it's a buyer's market. They're able to price high, and because demand has been so high, David, they're getting it in the first day. But the average CNBC viewer who might be buying it at the end of the close on the first day, they're the one who's not very happy. Maybe we can get them to lower the prices in 2022, David. How about that for an idea? Back to you.
Bob, thank you for filling us in on that. That performance number showing it, I think, shows it. And also on why Fox is down, because, of course, I was half serious on the Chris Wallace departure, but it is because it's being it's exiting that NASDAQ 100.
I would love to find the average viewer who got gaffed.
Yeah. Say again?
You said the average viewer's down. I'd love to get the average viewer and just have them sit there and say, you were gaffed by a bunch of deals. What happened?
Okay.
Which one did you get sucked into?
Let's get an average viewer. Let's do a bond report, though, before we head to break real quickly for you all. Let's give you a look at how treasuries are faring this morning. You saw it earlier. Yields are hanging right in there at about 1.445 on the 10-year and the 30-year at 1.825. We'll be right back. As a reminder, yep, you can get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Sign up. Find out more at cnbc.com/investingclub or just point your phone at the QR code on your screen, or even if you see Jim in person like I like to, just point it at his head and it will come right up. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. Just enough time to find out what's on Mad tonight.
Exciting show. MongoDB, one of the really the best other than Snowflake that's still staying up. And then David, Craig Moffett, to congratulate the Moffett Nathanson people for a terrific deal from SIVB, which is a very big company. And then Michelle Eisen is a barista. I just feel like everyone knows I've been very pro Starbucks over the years. I just feel like it's important to present the other side. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but why not put them on?
Interesting. Okay, just a barista or a specific?
Well, a person who's been quoted a lot, has been the leader.
Great. Great show.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.